This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water. Just in case if stuff gets too fire, I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
What's up? Football Friday. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Thanks for listening. Football Friday brought to you by Cellino Law. Car crash? Call Cellino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. So this will be the rare Sunday slate. We call it a slate over here. Like all the games, the schedule. The cool word is the slate. Call it the slate. This will be the rare Sunday slate where I don't see any of it.
You got...
I'm a little bit uncomfortable.
You got lacrosse obligations?
I do.
Yeah.
On the road.
That's tough.
So yeah, I will be... I won't be home until at the earliest halftime of the night game. On Sunday. But I was thinking, like, if you are obligated, let's say, to miss a Sunday NFL slate, think of all, like, the cool teams that aren't playing. Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, if you want, Dolphins, if you want, Minnesota, San Francisco, the Rams. The Rams are watchable.
Sure.
Even Seattle. None of these teams is playing Sunday afternoon. I mean, there are other games. If you're into Jacksonville and Chicago, and if you're into Tennessee and some of these other teams, you know, it's a great day. I don't mind when this happens. I watch it anyway. I watch all of it. But
there are exactly two games that look watchable to me on that schedule. I just looked at it for the Friday. I haven't really paid a lot of attention to it until you just brought it up. It's Friday. The Bills don't play until Monday. So, Washington Baltimore sounds fantastic to me. I'd be really interested to watch that. I've not had a chance to sit. And I don't know that I will. I haven't looked at what's available to us here without the Sunday ticket. So I don't know what the games are yet.
I'll get that for you.
But I have not been able to sit with anything Washington, with Jaden Daniels. So just highlights so far. And whatever, dipping in and out with Red Zone when the opportunity arises. That's one game that I'd be curious about competitively. Pittsburgh and the Raiders looks like a game I'd want to watch because it looks like 1972. So that could get my attention. But Detroit and Dallas is pretty juicy. And I would guess that that's the national game at 425.
Yes.
So, that looks pretty good. But, yeah, it's not a great... not a great-looking schedule. Even the Sunday night game, Bengals-Giants.
I think locally we have Washington-Baltimore. That's Nance and Romo.
Awesome.
And then Browns-Eagles will be on, I think, on Fox.
All right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's always good enough, but
yep.
It's not like it's loaded here.
Yeah.
And if you think about it in terms of the AFC and the Bills, like you have no Chiefs, no Dolphins. The AFC North, three of the four teams play NFC opponents. The Jets obviously are on Monday night against the Bills. Houston and New England is something. The AFC South games, I guess. Denver and the Chargers, maybe for the wild card.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like,
New England's a little interesting because of May playing, so that could be certainly a curiosity. But I think you picked a good Sunday to miss.
I do too.
It's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think you picked a good Sunday to miss.
And it's still nice out.
I don't remember. This happened to me about a month ago. I think we're about a month out from it was the Bills week 2 game, and now we're at week 6. So Borderland that Sunday, you know, I had it on. I had like Red Zone on, but I had to just read more than ever about what happened on Sunday, because like, even though I was looking at it, I was distracted every 40 seconds, and like I wasn't really watching. So
I am the worst though. I mean, I will be like you that day, unable to sit on the couch, you know, with a beverage and right. just sit there all day. Like that dream scenario is not available to me on Sunday, but I'll be on my phone every whistle. I use the ESPN fantasy app for the scores and the play-by-play, and just like am constantly, I might not miss a play in any game.
right.
As often as it is that I look at that.
You said you won't be home until like halftime of the night game. So you're it sounds like where
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Okay. So you'll be driving during the 4 o'clock end of the 4 o'clock window. Maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
I mean, Fubo can do the trick, but I mean, you're driving. But
I have all the games in the car.
Okay, right. Okay.
So 6 to 10.
Yeah.
Maybe is the right is the drive.
Yeah.
Something right. like that.
Yeah, you'll catch up.
I'll be fine.
right.
So it's not until Monday night, but Bills and Jets. It's a huge game for the Bills. It's a bigger game for the Jets. I look at it as when you're playing in the division, the home games are the ones that you really have to have. Like if this game were here, wouldn't it feel bigger? Wouldn't it feel more important that the Bills not lose?
Sure. Yeah, because you at least know you've got them coming back here later.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that and you've not had a home division game yet.
No, right. So I think of it like that the Jets have made, they're at home, they've made the coaching change, they have made the big move here. And so to lose out of that in your own stadium would be pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're 2 games back, having lost the home meeting, and I don't know what it would look like. I mean, it's not over at that point, but you do a big thing here if the Bills, if they were to win.
And that, I know it's not the same. The stakes are different for New York because of everything you just said. The dramatic firing of the coach, new play caller, like all of it, it just, you know, they are treating this like they have to have this game. And the Bills don't have to have it, but the opportunity to do what beating them in this spot with all of that taken into account would mean for you and them makes it a big game for the Bills. Like it you're not saying it doesn't matter, like they should treat it like a throwaway at all, but I think the stakes are pretty high. You have a chance to really damage, even, you know, not just with math, but like, you know, vibes wise if you batter Rodgers around and beat them however you do and come out of there 2 games up with a head-to-head win already and with how they've looked already, I mean, it might just feel like, what are we doing here for the Jets? Like, this isn't going to work. You know, we tried the thing. We did the thing that we thought we could do to change this season around for us. And we did not get the result we wanted, and now we're staring up at them, and we're further behind, and who knows? Like, what if Rodgers doesn't get it together? That could be where, if there is animosity toward him for Salah getting booted like he did, then that starts to creep in, and that so you could really, I think, damage them beyond just the 2-game lead.
It's the play calling change too,
right? I mentioned that.
You know, yeah, okay. That they've also doubled down almost on this game's importance. It's not only for this week, but still, like, they really, they're acting like this is 5 red circles.
But they got to have it, right. Right.
Doesn't really mean much, but I did see that Rodgers' passer rating against the Bills is lower than it is against any other franchise for his career. And last year's 4 plays wouldn't have a lot to do with that.
Probably not, no. But
that goes down as a win for him.
Yeah.
So he's 2-2 in the rest of his career against the Bills, and 74.9, 5 touchdown passes, 4 picks. Like, they've really done better against him than anybody else. Not that many games, but that's something that you might find interesting. I've decided, so if the Bills lose here, then it gets really tense because the Jets maybe found something and they'll have the same record. You've lost 3 straight in that scenario, and not only have the Bills lost these 2, they've not lost them impressively. Like, they really just offensively look kind of lost the last 2 weeks. So if that happens again, all the more scrutiny and the questions about just like what they're really capable of this year. If the Bills win the kind of game that I think it's going to be, win or lose, where it's sort of, it's defensive and what the total is 41. So that's, you know, 2.5. So 21-19 kind of score, a game like last year's was. If they win a game like that, I don't think all that goes away.
No.
I think I would say the technical way I would want to put it is how it would feel is I would say I would feel pretty okay. How do you like that? I think if the Bills win a low-scoring game by a field goal at the Jets, it'll be a big sigh of relief, and I'll feel pretty okay. But probably not. Tons different.
Right. It'll feel all the stuff we have already said about the 2-game lead would be there, and the opportunity to demoralize the Jets, and that's substantial. I think like that could put you in the spot where you feel like, okay, who really is going to come get me in this division here, right? I you know, the schedule does lighten up here. As daunting as it looked when the schedule came out, the fact that if you handle the Jets and you've got them again coming to your place, you've still got Miami again, you've got New England twice, Indy is out there. It's not as hard. Look, Tennessee a week from Sunday. At home, so you'll have, I think, you'll have done something to them that could really help you, but the questions will still be there. Like, do I have an offense that can, you know, do the things that they're used to doing? Can I get in some kind of a groove here, or am I gonna, you know, maybe coast through Tennessee? We'll see about Seattle. Their defense doesn't look great right now at all, to say the least, in Miami and Indy, but then, you know, KC and San Francisco are looming. Like, what do I look like against a good team again? So those questions aren't going away if you win a game like you're describing, you know, like a tough, hard-fought game, which is what you probably should expect.
I mean,
against the Jets,
even at full strength. But this was not, Sal mentioned this yesterday. He tried to give everybody the heads up. This was not going to change today, the injury report with respect to Shakir and Cook, and it didn't, because they didn't really practice. So he's like, it's going to be the same tomorrow. Saturday, like, often McDermott goes on Sal's show and rules guys out. Didn't do that today. It's a day away.
Right.
Day earlier. So tomorrow would be that day. Even with those guys, I mean, what did last year look like? These Jet games tend to be really difficult for Allen. So with Shakir and with Cook, is that much different than without? Without, though, especially Shakir, we saw last week how the Bills couldn't do anything middle of the field, almost gave up on that, and really just, I mean, 9-for-30.
Right, yeah.
So he's been their number one guy, and if he misses again, what should happen here?
You can roll your eyes all you want about him being this indispensable part, but, I mean, he was, the two lousy games they've had have come with him playing injured and then not playing at all. So, I mean, that can be circumstantial. I don't know. I mean, he did finish the Baltimore game and did make one big play in that game, but he was not the same. And I think we can take the fact that he has barely practiced in the 2 weeks since that game and since the injury, that he got through that game, but he was not himself. So they've had two really rocky games without him really healthy. So his playing means a lot, and I'm not optimistic at all about that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the extra day will be the magic for him. But yeah, they're in very tough without him in the slot as sort of a security blanket. And even, you know, someone who's heady enough to recognize Allen he probably would like it if I would run behind these guys. He'll get it to me. He goes and does that in the Baltimore game. Not every guy on this roster knows Allen that well yet. I think they're in tough without him, especially Cook. To me, you know, he's been nice. I'm not denying that. He's been scoring touchdowns for them, and, you know, catching the ball and hanging on to it and making plays. But I feel like I can get by with a different running back.
Has he ever missed a game? No.
I don't think so. Cook?
No. Like, even as a rookie, he didn't play a lot right away. But, yeah, 16 games that year. Is that Hamlin? So they played one fewer game?
Yeah.
And then last year, 17 games and 5 this year. So it'll be their first time without him, especially relevant, you know, in the lead role that he's right. had. Yeah. I don't mind that much either, but it's just one more
right.
different thing. I do not like this setup at all for them. Without those guys, just what the Jets are, with all the emotion that would come from what's happened to them, their corners, the past in this rivalry, they've made it hard on Allen. They've got great corners. And my guys can't get open anyway. So, and I think in terms of the Jets' offense, Rodgers is everybody's focus. Breece Hall, the last 2 weeks, has done nothing. Like, they can't get anything from their running game, and anybody can run on the Bills, like, right now.
Yeah, you'd think that they would have a mind to try to get that established.
Yes, like, new play caller, figuring out new ways, new schemes to get their running back going, because he's a huge part of their offense. The thesis on the Jets being good was more about him and Garrett Wilson. You know how many targets Garrett Wilson had against Minnesota? 23. One guy. 23 targets, literally, against the Vikings in that game. So the narrative seems to be like they're not on the same page, and there were throws in that game where that was evident.
Yeah.
That seemed right. But still, like, he ended up with a monster stat line, and he's super good. So I would think Hall, though, is, if I'm the Jets, this is where I want to really try to get home, is with him. I mean, he's a home run hitter, and they're not getting, like, he's getting hit at the line of scrimmage
right.
on his runs and getting nothing out of them. He had 4 yards against Denver, and I don't know what last week's number was, but it wasn't great. So I think that there are a lot of things about this matchup, both sides, that have me leaning Jets. And only some of it is emotion, because the Bills should have plenty of motivation themselves.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, they've gotten smacked 2 weeks in a row. Well, I mean, they didn't exactly get smacked last week, but they lost, and their offense was inept. So, I don't mean to discount whatever the Jets might be feeling. I'm not sure I'm ready to buy it. I'm going to need to see that they're really all together. And, you know, you make that, how do you declare that? You know, how do they play? You know, does it go well? To me, it's very possible they're still disjointed and messed up. But they did make a dramatic move. What the Bills are going to have to do in this game, and I mean, this might start sounding like a broken record, but I think I would have felt this way about this matchup anyways, even if the Bills had been looking good. Like, if they'd won one of these last two and were rolling in here 4-1, I'd be thinking the Jets probably feel like they can handle the Bills a lot of the time, the majority of the time, man on man with those corners. Sure, they're missing their nickel corner. He hasn't practiced, Michael Carter. But, you know, I don't have my slot receiver. So, you know, that might be a push at this point. But those two dudes on the outside, I'm locking down, and I am messing with Allen. I'm faking blitzes. I'm blitzing. I'm not scared of you. You're gonna have to show me you can beat me. And you haven't been able to beat Houston, you haven't been able to beat Baltimore, and these two corners, to me, are better than anybody on either of those teams. So, good luck. You're just going to have to prove that you can do it. And, you know, hit some plays, out of man coverage, beat the blitz. I mean, Allen has I don't want to say he's made his career beating the blitz, but he has been excellent. You want to do that? I'm going to rely on my guys, and I'm going to get away from the guy that's maybe unblocked, and then I'm going to beat you. And that is not happening. for a variety of reasons. He's been inaccurate at times when those opportunities are there, when guys have won, but a lot of the time guys aren't winning.
That's another one where Diggs would know, they would have been on the same page,
right?
You know, and Coleman is definitely not there with him.
Yeah. No, as evidence, you've got a hot read that Allen throws at Coleman and it hits him in the back of the head.
That would be like the worst thing to happen as a receiver, I think.
I think so.
The pass hits you in the helmet?
Yeah.
Or is just maybe off the hands worse? That's the only thing maybe that's worse is off the hands?
At least you knew the ball was coming.
Okay.
And you made an attempt to catch it.
Off the helmet.
Off the helmet. Off the back of the helmet. Like, face mask is maybe worse. Like, if you miss it so badly that it hits you right in the helmet.
It sticks in the face mask.
Right? Like the puck in Owen Power's skate last night. Yeah. Like if that happens, that's worse. But
and you just crumple to the ground.
Not being aware.
The ball right? Stuck in your helmet. That would be a bad look.
But not being aware enough to turn around and to hit you in the back of the helmet is bad. That's bad. Bad look.
That does seem bad. Well, we'll see what happens Monday night. We've got all day Monday to talk about it, too. We will definitely get around the league today. Coming up next, that starts, Sam Panayotovich will join us, as he does every Friday, from BetQL Daily. Talk about this matchup and much more around the NFL. Paul and Sal as well, and also Dennis Williams today. Many of you will remember Dennis having been in the Buffalo sports media for many years, including some time working evenings here with us. And I talked to Josh Mora like a month or so ago, maybe a little longer ago. He and Dennis host a podcast. I was a guest of theirs. It's called The Back Nine, about life, you know, after a certain point, the back nine of your life. But we'll talk to Dennis about the podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cast, but also more his observations of just sort of the Buffalo sports scene then and now. In some ways, it's different. The Bills are consistently good, which had not been the case, as you know, for many years. The Sabres are the Sabres. I mean, they're so the Sabres. The Sabres are so the Sabres
right
now. It was
quintessential Saberness last night. Like, welcome to the first game of the season where you're like, boy, they really deserve better. I liked how they played a lot. I mean, just, you know, do that, you're going to win 7 out of 10 games you play that way. Okay, good luck doing that 7 out of 10 games. But, you know, that's the space on the board from last night.
I guess tomorrow we can only hope they get run over and win 4-2.
Sure.
That would even it up.
Great.
Even things up.
Yeah.
All right, so busy show. We'll have picks, of course, as we always do on Football Fridays as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Now it's time for a break. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Very talented defense. They've been really strong for a number of years and a lot of high draft picks, I believe, you know, in the front, and they just roll them. They're very deep up front. And then with the corner positions, we talk about being a matchup game. They've got a really good corner or two back there, and so it leads to a tough matchup. So they do a great job defensively.
Sean McDermott this morning on the Extra Point Show with Sal. If you missed it and want to hear it, use the Audacy app, AUDACY, or go to WGR550.com. Also, on the Audacy app, you can find the BetQL Network. That's where our next guest resides, Sam Panayotovich, host of BetQL Daily, Audacy Sports BetQL Insider. BetQL Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. I did this, by the way, today. And be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast for more analysis. I also did this today. Just search BetQL Daily wherever you find your podcasts. That's a good show you guys have, Sam, you and Joe.
I appreciate it. I think this is becoming, and I know we've only known each other 3 weeks now, it's becoming one of my favorite stops. I do a lot of stops on Friday. Your audience has been so cool to me. I've gotten so many nice messages on social, which is very rare in my space. Usually it's nerd, nice pick, loser.
Yep.
You know, your audience has been very nice, although there was one guy, I think he had been drinking all day. He texted me, "Don't ever show your face in Buffalo after that Miami Hurricanes pick." So, you know, you gotta get the good ones in with the bad ones.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Joe gave me your number, so I was...
Yeah.
Don't ever show your face in Buffalo for losing one football pick.
Yeah, I hopped on that too, and I you know, whatever. It didn't go well. I mean,
hey,
they won the game, but no. You know.
You also liked Washington, and I picked
right.
Washington.
That worked
so,
out. Yep.
You know, win some, lose some. That's to be expected. That's cool.
It was the worst week I've had of the season. And I'm looking at my stuff now, 23-19. I mean it could be a lot worse, obviously. Up a little bit, 55.1% basically. So we'll see. I mean, long way to go. It's a long season, guys. And you know how it is. I mean, the best in the world are trying to win, you know, 55 and up. My guy who's been betting the NFL in Vegas for 40 years says if I can get 55%, I am the happiest person in the world. And, but that means you lose 45 out of 100. So right. As long as you bet responsibly and don't get out of control, you can afford to lose games, believe it or not.
Think of it like baseball, right? Well, right. Maybe not the White Sox this year, but most teams win like 60 games at least, or lose 60 games. When I was listening to your show or watching your show today, this is kind of a fun way to start because, you know, we're all trying to have takes, make picks, win money. You were talking about the Washington-Baltimore game, and you said something like, younger me would have loved the Ravens here, but I'm not touching it. What exactly is that? Like amount of discipline, or what's the difference for you as you see this game and why you would have been different about it, you know, years ago?
Well, it's just like fading the hottest, you know, toy on the shelf, basically, or, you know, the coolest kid in class. It's just like, that's what Washington is right now. And I think I just would have blindly bet against them because I would confirm to myself that this can't keep happening. But I go back and I look at a Ravens game and I watch that game back, Ravens, Bengals. Cincinnati basically did whatever it wanted up and down the field. Yeah, the Ravens won, but you could argue they were lucky to win that game. Cincinnati has a bad hold and miss a kick in overtime. So it was a weird finish, but, you know, the Bengals go up and down the field. Why can't the Commanders do it? I think the big question I have in this game is, can Washington stop power run? Buffalo obviously could not do it mm-hmm. against Baltimore. I don't know if Washington can do it. They've also, guys, I mean, you look at their schedule, there's a lot of bad teams on there. You give them credit for being 4-1, but how much stock do we put into beating the Giants and beating, you know, the Browns and beating the Bengals, and it just like it's a lot of garbage there. And now this is a step up in competition. I don't have to tell you guys. You know how good Baltimore is. But it's a game I have so many questions about. And if that's the case, I can just do the old Rachel Phelps from Major League. I can just cross him off then and move on.
Pick something else.
Pick something else you like. Yeah, that seems like a solid plan when you don't have an idea like where to go. What do you make of what the Bills might be walking into on Monday night, Sam? We know what's going on with the Jets. They changed the play caller on top of the head coach getting fired, which, you know, when this all started happening on Tuesday, it seemed like maybe Salah was getting fired because he wanted to change the play caller, but they went ahead and did that anyway. So what do you make of all that?
I have no idea what's going to happen. Ostrowski, though, is convinced. He's convinced the Jets are the best. And I don't know. He was saying that you guys even sounded nervous about the game.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's nervous about the game, though. It's so funny how it works. Like, we're all nervous about one thing, and then that thing goes the other way, you know? I mean, it's still – like, I was looking at the Titans' offenses that this new play caller, I think his name is Downing, mm-hmm. with the Jets.
Yep.
He took over a team that was fourth in points or fifth in points under Arthur Smith, and they got progressively worse. It was something like they went from fifth to 14th to 28th in points. And the Jets are so smart. They're like, we'll make him our play caller. You know, it's like, I don't know. I also don't know that Rodgers is healthy.
Right.
This feels like an under game. 41 is the total. I also, and you guys are much closer to the situation than I am, who's healthy on the Bills offense right now? Like, is Allen healthy? I'm sure he's going to play, but man, he got his bell rung a couple of times. How about Shakir? Is he good to go? I mean, you got so many guys that are banged up. I wish Buffalo was healthier. I just don't know. You guys are closer to it. Like, what's the status of their offense right now?
It's those players. It's also Cook, who was not practicing. He seemed to have been injured late in the game against Houston. because it's a Monday game, it's really tomorrow where we find out. Like, if guys are going to get ruled out, that can be tomorrow, not today. Today they didn't really practice, so there's no real update on that.
But what they've done this week, those two guys specifically, Cook and Shakir, is very light work on the side. So no practice at all, even on a limited basis for either guy. So I don't know. I mean, that doesn't sound encouraging. I think Allen's probably fine. You know, he's had this hand thing, where he's been wearing this glove since the opener here. But he's practiced full. Like, there's no question. And I don't think he's really that. The hand has been the thing. I think the other stuff is maybe more nuisance.
I don't think Rodgers has been that impressive. I mean, he played one really good game this year, and that was against the Patriots, and the Patriots could easily be the worst team in the league. So, I don't know. You're also facing the Patriots team playing on, what, 3 days rest, because that was a Thursday night game.
Right.
I remember, because I couldn't – my Amazon Prime was going in and out, and I'm ready to rip the TV off the wall because I can't keep the connection. where do the touchdowns come from, though? I mean, like, in all reality, like, if those guys are banged up, I mean, sure, that they're probably – going to try and give it a go if they can, but if they're not at full strength, the quarterback in New York can't move, he's got a low ankle sprain, I don't know, guys, like 20-17 type final, it's going to be a war out there. It's going to be a war.
That's what the total's 41, so you're in the neighborhood there. That's what last year's game there in week one was. That ended up being Zach Wilson instead of Rodgers, but that game went to overtime 16-16. And, you know, except for one time, Allen and the Bills offense in recent years against the Jets, at least in New York, have not been very good. One thing I wanted to ask you about quickly, even though they're off this week, Sam, is Minnesota. You had a tweet, something to the effect of, why is there no love for the Vikings? Last week with us, you were mentioning Brady's power rankings, and Minnesota, I think he might have had them at 2, and you're like, no. Did that change for you, or do you think maybe Minnesota maybe isn't the second best team in the league, but is still maybe also underrated?
No, my opinion hasn't really changed. I still have Detroit and actually Green Bay power rated higher. But I was more amazed that I put that tweet out last night during the fourth quarter of the game. And I think the first 65 replies, there were two Vikings of who do you like to win the NFC? And I'm just like, wait a minute, that doesn't really compute. When one of these teams is 5-0 straight up and 5-0 against the spread, you would think more than 2 out of 65 people would like Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're a better team than San Fran or Green Bay or Detroit when Philly's healthy. But here's the thing about when you have the number one seed potentially, and they have, you know, the potential to get there, that's a tough place to play, guys. So if you have home field and you can get all those games inside that stadium, I call it the Death Star. You know, they're in there, they're drunk at like 7 a.m, drinking vodka out of a horn, like screaming with their shirts off. I mean, it's the loudest place I've ever been to in the NFL. If they can secure that, of course they can make a run. But I just thought there would be more popularity to like Minnesota, and I guess people just still aren't believing yet, which I totally understand.
Fair enough.
You mentioned the Eagles, and yeah, I know like gambling isn't necessarily about vibes at all, but the vibes have been off with the Eagles going back to late last season, into this year. Wonky start, injuries, like you say, but they're getting Brown back, and they draw Cleveland here. Do you still think that they're a top NFC team, or are they a wobble?
In terms of talent, I mean, it's all there. I think, you know, the hot topic around them now is what's up with the coach and when is he going to get launched. I don't think Howie Roseman is going to fire Nick Sirianni in season. I don't think that happens. You also have, you know, this, as we talked about earlier, the Commanders are like the hottest thing right now. You can bet the Eagles. I think MGM has plus 140 or plus 150 on them to win the division. If any time, this would be the time to buy. They come off the bye. They're getting healthy. They're a 10-point favorite against Cleveland. Cleveland's just atrocious. Assuming Philly wins this game and maybe the Commanders get pounded by Baltimore, what's that price then? You know, the Commander stock is so high right now, which cheapens the price on Philly. So maybe, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I bet some Philly to win the East this morning. Maybe I did. Maybe I thought about it. Actually, I did do it, nudge, nudge. This is the time to buy. You got to buy teams when other people don't want to buy teams. Everybody wants to buy the Commanders now. Commanders, Commanders, Commanders. that team is not winning the division, I don't think.
And the time is it now anyway? It would have been two weeks ago might have been a lot different. I don't know. Sam, how about Saturday, college football? I think you like Ohio State in a big one against Oregon.
Yeah, I do like the Buckeyes. I think Oregon's good. I think Ohio State's great. Their safety play is just otherworldly. They got two NFL safeties, and most college teams don't have one. They got two. Just so good at coming in, making plays. They have a superstar at every level, too. I like Oregon. I think they're a good team. I think Ohio State's great. So I did lay some three. Let's see, what other losers do I got for you? I got Oklahoma plus 14.5. I think that's a big number. And then I love when P.J. Fleck is laying points on the road. Minnesota's a home favorite? Nah. UCLA plus 4.
How about, let's see, the baseball playoffs? Any strong takes on what's left?
I have no skin in the game, but I have a buddy who is holding a couple tickets. He's got Yankees-Mets World Series at 70-1.
Wow.
And he's holding Mets World Series at 85-1. He bought the dip when they were like 15 games back to Philly.
Right.
He needs the Mets so bad to get to the World Series, and he says he's not going to hedge. Would you guys would probably think about hedging, though, right? Like, you take either the Padres or the Dodgers to win?
I definitely would. I mean, no doubt, 85-1, no doubt about it. I have San Diego, but that's not the question. Yes, you probably want San Diego to win tonight because that's a better price than the Dodgers would be. But, yeah.
Yeah, Dodgers would be a bigger favorite than the Padres. I mean, I don't know that it's that big of a deal. You got San Diego, huh? What's your price?
I don't remember. Do I have a minute?
Oh.
Bulldog, look this up. Let me see. It was before the playoffs, so it wasn't like before the season. It wasn't one of those.
Right.
But it's pretty good. Maybe 10-1, something like that.
See, I write my prices on my wrist in black marker, so I never forget. That's what you should do.
Plus 500. It's not even that good. So, just okay.
Hey, what do you mean it's not even good? They're still alive.
No, it's good. It's fine. It's fine. It's just not 85-1 or something like this.
Yeah, it wasn't made in May. It's really all that is there. Yeah.
No, just, go Pods. All right. Thank you, Sam. Enjoy our chats with you as usual, and we'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
That was the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider, Sam Paniatovich. BetQL Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Open lines for you, 803-0550. We've got Dennis Williams coming up at 4. Paul Hamilton, Sal Capaccio as well today. Picks later. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Football Friday continues here on WGR. Football Friday on WGR. Welcome back. Dennis Williams joins us in about 15 minutes. Paul Hamilton on the Sabres loss, and then Sal Capaccio as well later on. Well, looking back, one of yesterday's recurring topics, whether to start Geno Smith over Josh Allen in fantasy football. Ultimately, I did not start Geno Smith over Josh Allen. I was very tempted. I decided that this is how I get into trouble, as you put it, overthinking it. But Geno actually had the better projection than Josh anyway. But it just didn't feel, I just was afraid of having to stare at that 9 for 4 days with Allen on the bench. Ended up 19 was the number. It was not his best night.
Yep.
But the pick early was kind of a tough decision. The second one looks like that should be on Metcalf, if that was only two. But the one late, you have Metcalf sort of running upfield as soon as Smith throws the ball, and he's just cooked at that point.
Yeah.
But
19. You should be able to live with 19.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd played him, you'd be like, oh, that's not that good. You know, obviously Allen can do worse than that on Monday night, but yeah, your head should hit the pillow comfortably tonight.
It was a tough night, though. Like, it took a while.
Yeah.
They're down 23-3.
Yeah.
And he's thrown a pick, and, like, I knew this was a terrible idea. But yeah. You got the 19 there. Lockett got in, Walker.
Yeah, that game got in. I mean, I got to that late. I was, Sabres and then some baseball. And knowing what the score was. But I got to it one score game, I think. I saw a pick six. for San Francisco, and that was it. I just, like, all right, forget it. They got it. I don't know about, you know, fantasy points or whatever, but, like, they're not going to lose this game now. So I felt safe turning it off at that point.
Seattle scored on a kickoff return.
Right, saw that.
That doesn't help your quarterback's fantasy points at all.
No.
You lose a possession.
No.
That doesn't help. That doesn't Chenault. Work.
Yeah, no.
Jordan Mason injured. Looked like they might have been able to put him back in. They didn't. And today they confirmed the speculation from last night. AC joint strain, shoulder. So Mason, he's the NFL's leading rusher. Like, he's been a savior for fantasy teams that didn't get Christian McCaffrey, or, you know, if good for you if somebody else drafted McCaffrey and you have Mason. You know, he's been very valuable. And two for Kittle last night. Debo, a big one.
Yep.
And then two for Kittle. Purdy was the better quarterback play,
another,
as it turns out.
Another very quiet night for Ayuk after kind of a breakthrough last week. I speak as an Ayuk owner. Could have used a lot more than that. And I think we played against the Seattle defense. So we're playing
the
against
kickoff.
You open up your app in the morning. Yeah, it didn't pay super close attention to the game. Not as close as I normally would pay pre-hockey season anyway. And, like, 19-5? What? How did... Oh! Kick return.
Hate it.
Damn it!
There's a movement to have kickers removed from fantasy football. Like, lots of people think, and lots of leagues just don't have kickers because they hate that sort of thing. But I'm fine with it. Like, it's all random. I mean,
sure,
in a way.
Yeah.
So, it's not entirely unpredictable which kicker versus another. It's just more unpredictable than, like, a running back. But there's still a lot of randomness even in that. So I like having kickers. Defense, though, is worse for me. For some reason, losing to a kickoff return is harder to take than losing to Brandon Aubrey kicking 5 field goals or something. Like, to me, I think, well, this guy's Tucker over the years. Like, this is one of the better guys.
I think I feel that way in real life, too. If I get beat by somebody kicking field goals, okay, you got your field goals. If I give up a kick return touchdown and that's how I lose, like my team loses like that, come on, cover a kick. What are you doing over here?
Bills Jets last year.
Who even returns kicks anymore? I mean, San Francisco allowed Seattle to return two. Well, shouldn't say it quite that way. I don't remember where the ball landed on the one that went back for a touchdown, but they had another kick return later in the game and their kicker got hurt. Like, weren't they already down a kick? Wasn't last week? No, it was the Giants.
No, the Niners lost their kicker last week.
Okay.
Jake Moody.
I got to follow up on that, but I think that might have happened to the replacement, or unless he was better, well enough to play. But I think their kicker, I read their kicker got hurt. They had two kick returns, one for a touchdown, another their kicker got hurt on.
Well, he did finish the game. He kicked an extra point on their late score, Matthew Wright. But, yeah, dynamic, pretty dynamic, that run back. At kickoff.
I guess so. Yeah. All right.
I don't want to lose to a team defense. The DST puts up 20 points.
Yeah.
And your perfect matchup team puts up 2 because they couldn't get any sacks or fumble recoveries. Like, that's a cheapie. We'll talk to Dennis Williams, catch up with one of our former colleagues here, talk Buffalo sports with him, Bill Sabres, and catch up on his career. Paul Hamilton, Sal Capaccio, still to come as well. Football Friday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.